Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Make sure I have this with me. Friends, I'd like you to imagine with me, if you will, for a moment. Imagine, even close your eyes if that's helpful. It's a helpful practice. You can close your eyes and just imagine. I'm going to paint a picture for you. It's the middle of summer. Very hot day outside. It's a Sunday morning. And people are gathered together from miles away to bring their worship and their praises to God. They're all gathered together under the shade of ancient trees. Men, women, children, friends and neighbors, those who have known each other for years and those who have just met, all for the singular purpose of worshiping the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Despite the cruelty of the world, despite differences, despite coming from different backgrounds and different experiences, it isn't too difficult to picture that, is it? It's where we are here this morning. It's hot. We're together. We've come from miles around, and we're here for one common purpose, to worship the risen Lord Jesus. Though what I'm describing does depict us this morning, that's not my intention. It is a description of us, but what I'm describing right now is what is taking place, what has taken place already today, halfway across the world. Christians from Uganda have gathered together already under their ancient trees, walking from miles around, bringing families together, even differing tribes at times, to worship the same risen Lord that we are worshiping under these ancient trees. You know, gathering outside under the heat, in the heat, under trees, that's the common practice for most of our Christian friends in Uganda. And in a couple of weeks, like I mentioned earlier today, Lori and Townsend will be joining them again as representatives of St. John's Parish Church to worship under some of those ancient, beautiful trees. That brings together worship from two vastly different places, at two different times, in a beautiful, unifying glory of God. Well, we are gathered under these ancient trees, and to get back here this morning, you drove through a canopy of ancient oak trees. Absolutely beautiful, majestic. Trees that we drove under today have seen perhaps hundreds of years of families, of change, of good times, of difficult times. Driving under these trees as we came in here today tells a story indeed, doesn't it? So recently I was listening to the radio and a song came on with lyrics that went something like this. I know these roads like the back of my hand, and I could drive them with my eyes closed. But why would I? I wouldn't want to miss a thing. The generations of Bryans who have lived here, know these roads. And I'm sure that each one of you could certainly drive them with your eyes closed. But why would you? Why would you? You'd miss seeing all of the amazing blessings that this place has to offer. Well, friends, there are those Christians who know Scripture like the back of their hand. They can quote chapter and verse like nothing else. And many of us have read passages such as what we heard this morning in the Gospel of Luke, with Jesus asking the question of his disciples, who do people say that I am? And we've read the answers, haven't we? John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the other prophets of old. And then we've also read his follow-up question that he asked. But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then we've also read Peter's perfect answer. You know, we've read this passage many times. It actually takes place in three of the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we've read this a lot. And we've read Peter's perfect answer. He said, "You are the Christ of God. You are the Son of the living God," is what he says in Matthew. We've read about this interaction between Jesus and the disciples many times. So many times, perhaps, that we know it like the back of our hand. And we could possibly even recite word for word with our eyes closed. But why would we want to do that? In doing so, we could simply turn this deeply moving passage of Holy Scripture, of God's Word, into song lyrics or a trivia answer. And here's the reality of this interaction. Here's the reality is that the kingdom of God and the Christian church is established upon this confession of Peter. A confession that we all do well to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. A confession that we read, reread, and then read again, and take well into our hearts. The reason that we gather under the shade of these trees in the summer heat. Because Jesus is the Christ of God, the Messiah, who has come from heaven to bring salvation. Salvation to the people of Israel and well beyond, to his Christian heirs that now gather together to worship him. Friends, the kingdom of God is built upon the firm foundation of Jesus, and it grows as we make the same confession that Peter made. When we answer that question, who do you say that I am? Well, we say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You forgive our sins. You bring eternal salvation to those who believe in you. In Peter's confession, as recorded here in the Gospel of Luke, there is the next part of that conversation includes Jesus telling the disciples that he will suffer, that he will be rejected, that he will even be killed, but that he will rise on the third day after his death. Again, this is a passage that many of us know very well and could perhaps even recite with our eyes closed. We have in the Bible the recorded words of Jesus Christ. And these words provide eternal salvation for all who read them and hear them, even in the difficulties and tragedies of life. And the reality is that as Jesus is telling the disciples that he must suffer and be rejected and be killed. The reality is that he had to suffer and be rejected and killed and then be raised in order for us to attain that eternal salvation. And this point in the Gospel of Luke here is actually a turning point, if you will. It's a turning point in the life of Jesus as he walked on earth. His eyes and his intentions after this point are now singularly focused toward Jerusalem, where he would be unjustly arrested and put on trial and falsely accused, beaten, tortured, and killed, just as he said. And he knew from the beginning of time that this was the way that it had to happen. It was a turning point, not really for Jesus, because he knew what was going to happen, but it was a turning point in the life of the disciples. It was a turning point for the history of the world, that the advancement of his kingdom, of God's kingdom on earth, is taking place, and salvation is for all. You know, about a month ago, I believe that we had a turning point of sorts in the life of our congregation. If you remember, and how could you forget, we had a baptism of sorts, didn't we? On our attempted worship day out at Bugby Plantation. You know, nearly 200 of us were gathered together that day, and the Lord had a very particular plan for us that day, didn't he? The plan was for us to be made clean, to die to self, to live for him. And we experienced that in a quite tangible way, didn't we? The heavy rains that symbolically washed us are also nurturing us right now, as we speak, as we worship, as we continue to move forward in the participation of building God's kingdom, for future growth, for planting, for more and more fruit bearing as we go on. And some of that, I'll say, has already begun. The turning point has taken place, and some of that fruit, some of that seed planting has already begun. And we can see that if you've driven by Main Road in the last week or so. The development of Church Place has begun. The road to our future permanent home has begun, and there are some of the construction gravel and some things that have begun, and our future home is being built, not only literally in what's taking place there right now, but being built upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and our humble confession that he is the Christ of God, the Messiah who brings eternal salvation. A turning point, friends, has taken place. And then Jesus also tells his disciples and us that we are to follow him. Again, this is something that we've heard, we've read many times before, and we acknowledge today that this is not a suggestion. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." He doesn't ask. He simply tells us the way to follow him. We've read it many times, haven't we? We know that we're supposed to follow Jesus. Though when we read this passage and the other passages like it, do we truly see what it is that he is calling us to and how it is that we are to follow him? We are to follow in a denial of self, a denial of self-righteousness, denial of selfishness, and follow Jesus in his own suffering. Follow Jesus in his rejection, and even, yes, follow Jesus in his death. To follow Jesus is a way of life that is the most dangerous, yet the most joyful life imaginable. In order to gain life, true life, we must die. And die like Jesus. And die for Jesus. Then we will fully know what it means to confess that He is the Christ of God, truly the Savior of the world. And beloved friends, the kingdom of God is indeed being built in and through us. And our continuous denial of self, our confession that Jesus is the Christ of God. And let me just say this. All of you have made incredible efforts and incredible sacrifices to follow Jesus these last 3 years. It is commendable. It is remarkable. I acknowledge that in you. I see that. I commend you, your willingness to be obedient to our Lord's calling to go out without having a whole lot of answers. Only following and trusting that Jesus is the Christ of God. The sacrifices that you have made and will continue to make, will need to continue to make, are great examples of what it means to take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. And more of this will be required. More of this will be asked. It's the most dangerous and most joyful life that any of us could ever live. So, friends, Jesus continues to call and equip us as we are called to follow Him every day in humbleness and humility, in forgiveness and sacrifice, in heat and humidity, and in fear and glory. It is a beautiful life. So we continue to follow Him because we do indeed recognize and we confess and we continue to build His church on that great confession that Jesus is the Christ of God. Amen.